how good is the Red Guardian? Who is the next Battle Pass character coming? And when are we seeing Emma back? All that and more coming up on your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. This week, I'm joined by Reminex. And if you're ready for all that, guys, Reminex, my brother, tell him what to do.
Let's tank it.
Pally flying.
Maniacs, welcome back to the first Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update of 2021. I am joined by my brother there, making all those silly hand gestures. I see you there, Reminex. How are you, my brother? What is up? I hope 2021 is going to be a great year for you. I hope 2020 finished up very strong. But we got a lot of stuff to cover. We got Yelena. We got Red Guardian. We got the full Skeletary team and a lot more things that are coming up. Emma Frost, Milestones, the next Battle Pass character. And guys, we do this every single week, this weekly news update, your Marvel Strike Force weekly news update. And if this is your first time here, guys, make sure you hit that subscribe button for more great Marvel Strike Force content, more the notification bell so you get notified every time a new video is released. But without further ado, Reminex, how are you, my friend? How has your 2020 been, and how has your 2021 been so far?
2020 just can't. I can't. I'm glad to look at it in the rearview mirror, right?
Rearview. Where's my thumb? There's my thumb for 2020.
There it is. Let's go. See you later, 2020.
All right, but 2021 is here. How excited are you about 2021?
Oh man, all I gotta say is MSF 2020. Oh man.
All right. Well, before we get into all the news, the MSF news. Do you have any resolutions for this year?
Yeah, so I have a swear jar on my stream. And
Oh my goodness.
So it's a dollar every single time I swear. It's already up to $22.
Where does the money go to? Where does the money go to? That's my question.
So at the end of the month, I give it away as a giveaway on the channel.
Okay, okay. So you got the chat in there trying to get you to swear.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Oh, great. Awesome. Very fun chat. All right, guys, make sure you guys stop by. The links for Reminex's stream, his channel, are going to be down below. But without further ado, let me ask you this question right here, brother. Where in the world is Emma? Now, as we are recording this, she is not out in the game yet, but I think both of us are expecting her very, very soon. When are you expecting the Emma milestones to return to Marvel Strike Force?
So all the milestones are lining up so that she should be today, which is Wednesday, right? And yes. So what that means is because they put that information out ahead of the last blog, I feel like that's a really important aspect of all this.
Okay, yes, and she's a very, very good character. Where is your Emma right now? Do you need these milestones to get her up to the next star level, or do you have her maxed out?
I kind of maxed her out. When you she got came her out maxed out, all right.
I am not surprised, but the more important question is, now she is one of the best characters in the game, but with all these new things, the new raids, new Dark Dimension 4 coming up, how viable is Emma right now? Should people still be really pushing hard when these milestones return to really get as many shards for Emma as possible, or is she kind of already dropping off?
So she's future proof. The fact that her passive does that 10%, unless they create a character that neutralizes that or counters it, that 10% speed is devastating. You can already see the effect it has in RTA and raids in a lot of the environments that we've used her. She sets up characters like Ghost with the ability to kind of rewind time. She's probably, you know, and even at her lowest rank, her passive at the lowest level does that speed rewind. So even if you just get her in your roster, she's somebody who is game changing.
No, this was a question that was asked in the mailbag. I wasn't sure about this. There's some passives that remain after the character dies. There's some that as soon as the character dies, they go away. What happens to Emma Frost's speed? My assumption was the way it was written, they're permanently reducing that 10 yeah. That speed by 10%. So even if she dies, it's still
it as far as the testing goes, it looks to be that her speed is always doing that, and even if she dies and a second wave drops in, it is affecting it globally as long as she's been in the round.
Okay, nice. Well, I'm glad I got someone on this week that actually does testing on these characters, so
yeah,
we can figure out all this stuff about.
Yeah, we did extensive testing with her when she came out. We did the Rema Frost, and I did get a couple of good pulls. I have a Rema Frost getting 180 pulled. Maybe I'll show you that. I'll give you that link when
Oh,
it was fun. So,
all right, whatever links you send me will be down below, guys, in the description. So make sure you check those out. But moving on, unless there's anything else about Emma that you want to discuss, because I got a personal question for you coming up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. DD4. We know that your brother Yags finished it recently. And what is the result of that? Before we get into where you are personally in DD4. Here, there it is. Scopely fixed price. Oh, a bunch of actually people just passed it over the holidays. Last I looked, he was like 80%. So,
yeah, so Scopely fixed prices. We're just waiting for his legendary characters to finish up. And then he did it. I did it on my stream. Showcased nice. the final node. It was actually really cool. We did a little bit of Doom gameplay. We've done some Doom testing. And so he's not holding with Doom on his defense. And again, I think Red Guardian might help with that a little. But
you're talking holding on defense. Are you talking on war defense or arena defense?
Arena defense.
Okay.
So I think there was an expectation that he was going to be the arena man. He may still very well be. We don't know if he's, you know, winning 80% of the time. So, you know, that's the big difference. From that perspective, it is like he is super psyched. He has been using, he created this for the community. He set up a poll to see what character people want. So it looks like it is going to be, well, the majority of the community voted for Cole and he was going to go with that. So,
okay. So Cole, so guys, even if you're not growing hard on this Cole Blitz right now, still got a chance to get what, 100 shards, is it that they award with these things?
Usually it's through a calendar, right? So, you know, it usually takes a little while to implement. So
the total throughout the calendar is usually about 100. Yeah, I think for Captain Marvel it was, and some other characters, I think it came out to 100.
They announced that in the blog. So they actually announced it in the blog, so we knew.
Okay, so it is 100. Okay. So, Remnix, I know you are in Dark Dimension 4 right now. How are you doing? What is your progress like? And what are some tips that you have for the community, for people that, like myself, that are not entered in Dark Dimension 4 yet?
Use our DD4 calculator. I have some regrets. I brought a bio character in for the first couple of nodes, and so I went in there and I was able to one shot pretty much every node.
Okay.
And so it did me nothing. I was still waiting for gear. So I beat these nodes, right? I beat these nodes, and I literally did nothing for the past 2 weeks.
Why? What happened?
Because the gear is so rare. I can't.
You don't have the characters.
All the G15 gear is bottlenecked. So, yeah.
So who are the first five that you took in, and who would you take in now that you have the experience with this bottlenecks for global and things like that?
So it's going to be a little bit about your roster and your roster planning. What I will tell you is we learned a couple of cool things. So first things first, I used Captain America, Black Widow, Ghost, Mordo.
Mordo, okay.
Yeah, I have a 7 Red Star Mordo, so it's just nice. Kind of a. And I use them a lot in everything I do. And okay. So,
wait, one more. Who's the last one?
It was Sinister.
Sinister, okay. So those are the first five. Would you change any of those?
I would keep Sinister and probably Ghost. And so what we learn from this, and probably, and maybe Black Widow or Zemo, it's the low cost skill. What we learned is that because Mutant is only available in global, you're probably better off taking probably either two mutants here or making a Cosmic Mutant, wink wink, nudge nudge, until potentially either at any of those, depending on how well you have them built. So so through our testing, we actually had some people send me screenshots of their five red ghost, 5-star ghost, their 4 red, 4-star Mr. Sinister. Okay, their Hawkeye, their 7 red Hawkeye, but that doesn't make a difference. He's not doing a lion's share damage. Their 7-star 4 red Black Widow one-shotting the final node in global. So what that tells me is it isn't Dark Dimension 3 at all. That if you have the right control elements, you'll be able to do that. And so, nice. You know, they have a pretty good wave one. And so they brought two skill characters up early. And so very, very low cost. So there's a couple different ways to play it. If your roster can support Emma and Mr. Sinister, remember, you're going to be delaying your entry, but you're not going to be delaying your progress.
Okay.
So the idea is, even though you're going to be waiting longer to get in and start it, you're not going to be waiting. Your overall progress won't be delayed, because we actually built this new calculator where it'll actually showcase how much time you have till completion based on how many times you refresh the shop, how many cores you're spending, how many offers you're buying, all these different things. As Rodney has put in the calculator.
Okay. And that link you're going to send me down below as well, yeah, that we could send to the community. Nice. Okay. Before we move on from Dark Dimension 4, you mentioned that you played with Doom a little bit, or you've gotten to see some Doom gameplay. What are your overall thoughts of Doom now that he's actually a character and not someone that we're using in a campaign node or cloning with Mr. Sinner? It's actually using Dr. Doom. Where is his viability? I guess you said he's not holding on arena defense. Where do you see him shining in Marvel Strike Force?
So I think the only thing about it that's interesting is they've kind of built him around a team, which is something that didn't happen in Ultron, because you call it the F4, but you don't necessarily have to use that. What was surprising was the window for, we thought about the window for ability blocks. Mm-hmm. So on War Defense, he was able to get, I think, two shot by two different X-Force teams, because we knew that they would kind of be able to the ability block him and go through that. So, but what we did find was a high enough Thanos and Black Order was able to get him to near death or death really quickly before he got a second turn. So without protecting him in some way, either with defense up or taunt at the beginning of the round, he was definitely causing it. And there was a little bit of an AI. So I think they created a smart AI so that he doesn't do his special
right away,
which is important. So I think they tried to build a smarter AI, which is what kind of needed from a character like Doom.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there were occasions when it didn't seem like he was doing what he was supposed to do, and it varied enough. So I think if they addressed some of those concerns that we have, and like I said, maybe a character like Red Guardian was envisioned as a team, and maybe there's more characters coming that'll help enhance him down the road. But there's some more theory crafting, overall, I think it was just disappointing to see him, you know, not hold in an arena. So
it's weird. He doesn't look like that plug and play character like Ultron, but it's kind of like you said, if he's surrounded by the right characters, possibly Fantastic Four, possibly Red Guardian, then maybe he'll be changing things up, but it doesn't sound like he's as meta changing as Ultron once was.
So I think we kind of look at Ultron with these rear view glasses that were think that he was like this great character. So when he first came on the scene, I think that we have different rosters than we have now, right? Yeah. We have a lot of different components. So you know, we have way more characters in the game, so it's a lot harder to balance a character around that. But more importantly, I think once we found the meta, it became a replicated meta. He wasn't just plug and play. He's main plug and play in a lot of different game modes, but I think if you use him on War Offense like we use Ultron, then yes, he absolutely does fit that same mold. Okay. It's a question of will he become the arena meta? What do we need to surround him with? And I think more theory crafting and more testing will allow us to get there. And I think there's something a little bit off, and I hope that they address it.
All right. Well, I hope they address it before the majority of the community gets Ultron. It looks like there's a few people that have him right now. All right. Dr. Doom. But hopefully they address it before a lot of these things. Maybe in the next patch. I think they said February was to be the next patch. But in addition to Doom, we got some other new shiny toys, or the majority of the community were able to access some new shiny toys. And I'm talking about this one right here, Yelena Belova. She came out while I was away. What are your thoughts on Yelena Belova? What is your favorite part of her kit?
So Yelena's actually pretty interesting. I like her passive. Her passive is pretty cool. Gives her a little bit of extra damage and does something unique that really kind of helps with the team that they're probably going to beat the most, which is probably Marauders, because of the fact that a lot of the way that we built them with the assist on non-attack abilities, we may have to change some of the ISOs if this becomes the preferred counter to the team.
Okay.
So that not that that assisted non-attack abilities is something that I think is pretty cool. So the drawback with with this is the T4 is required for her, but at 7 red star she's gonna do some damage. Boy, you got a good 7 red star there.
I got a good one, and I didn't even record it, so all I got is a screenshot. I don't got a cool reaction or anything. Yeah. So.
Wow. It's like this. Like this. Like it's just all this jealousy right here. It's just like
from you that you got to make a video, or me that I got this cool in-game line of code that gives me seven stars on this character.
7 red stars. That's amazing.
Nice. All right. So you like the passive? Any other T4s you recommend for her? I'm liking this special. Do you look
so her special because of the extra turn of stealth? Because that's going to increase her damage. So remember, the 2 turns disrupted is going to prevent the target from gaining any buffs. And so it's actually pretty interesting. There's a lot of different pieces to her puzzle. I think as you build this team and you're putting them against larger Marauders, you're probably going to build more of the T4s to kind of match what the opponent has. And that's the thing, right? Is we've got to take a team with heavy T4s again, and to match a war defense team that is heavily invested, that's been the meta for a while. So that's the only reason why I think people are probably feeling a little bit of regret about these guys, or they're worried about these guys not living up to their potential. But it's anytime we put them in a PvP scenario where we have a established meta that people have been upgrading red star upgrades for months, prioritizing, it always feels like the team that comes out to counter them doesn't counter them right away. Well, it's because you have to build them.
Yeah, you're not equal power. They're not apples to apples. You're a small apple versus a normal size apple.
Well, the idea is what's their punch up potential? I think it's still pretty high because they're taking away a lot of the tools, but that comes from the next thing that came out.
All right, let's talk about her blitz before we move on to the next character for this team, because she has a blitz coming up in tomorrow, actually. Now, if we look at some of the previous blitz scores for new characters, we had at that top 1% cutoff, it was about 32 for Longshot. I'm not sure what his second blitz was, but I think it was around 32 million or so. We look at the first blitz for a Yellow Jacket, that ended about 30 million. So where are you expecting her scores for this top 1% cutoff for the majority of the community that are really pushing hard to get this character?
I figure you'll probably see her very similar to where we saw Longshot in the most recent. It's funny because now we've got people that were milestone blitzers hitting 99. Cough, cough, mobile gamer. You know, but that's the thing.
It's so much more fun to blitz now. Blitz was horrible when we had to do it like eight times or like 20 rotations. But now it takes 5 minutes. It's cool. I like blitz again.
So blitz sim is definitely pushing these scores up. And the only thing about it is the larger your roster, I think the more potential you have. And so people that didn't typically blitz are now being pulled into that rotation. So I think we're going to see higher numbers each time. Because as your roster grows, so does the score. So I figure we'll see something near, if not higher, for this. Now, the only thing about this is there isn't these milestones. So we got to take that into effect, because the screen time milestones probably played a little bit into this. So some people were probably just because, the G15 gear and all that were in there.
Yeah.
So that's the big difference.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. I'm thinking it's right though. I think it's gonna be about that 32 or so for that 1% cutoff. And then it's very similar to Longshot. I think the community's interest in is relatively the same with Yelena and Longshot. I think they're both great characters. But we will see. We will see this Sunday how the scores turn out.
We'll see if the screen time milestones played that much of an effect on it.
We'll see. It could go either way. Let's talk about that new character though, the character that we were teasing a little bit. This guy right here, there you are in the game. It is Remnex
in the game.
Okay. It looks like both of you guys, but
it's the beard.
Just added last night as of first recording this. As you can see, I got this mistaken T4 in his basic, which that's what happens when you're upgrading so fast and the game lags and you're like, oh, did that just get upgraded? But what are your general thoughts on Red Guardian? Is he the best pure tank in Marvel Strike Force right now?
Yeah, so when we talk about it, right? So A tank is someone with a taunt ability, and so he is absolutely amazing. So not only does he do a couple of key things that are different than like Drax, so he spawn with taunt up, right?
Yes.
But one of the things about it is how many times have you watch Drax spawn in with taunt and then die shortly afterwards?
Yeah.
So this is defense up, which means he does something that Drax doesn't do right away, which means he gives himself that added protection. And so when he gets to 50% health, he sheds taunt and then heals. So it's absolutely amazing. It's actually a great ability. And so I did some testing, early testing, and we tested him against Mercs. And so I'll give you some feedback on that at the end here.
Okay.
And then we did some testing against some of the other teams. And the window is very clear that they do have the potential to beat a lot of the teams. And it's just about making sure you have the right T4s and what you built up. And so, yeah.
All right, talking about T4s, I think this passive is awesome. Are there any others besides this awesome basic as well that you would recommend?
So for him, I see you chose healer. Good choice. And so I think Iron Curtain with the actual the heals on that
effects, extra 5% extra healing. Okay.
Yeah. So it's actually pretty interesting. He does a great job of healing because it's based off of his hit points, and he's got quite a few.
Yeah. So the healer is the class that you would recommend for ISO 8.
Yeah. For now, okay. Until I don't think anything else is really emerging
Yeah. He should have a large health pool. He does healing already. It's going to just benefit him. I think I would agree with that. I don't think that's there's anyone that could argue with that. Unless there's more playtesting done down the road. But yeah, I like him. I think he's going to be great. And we will see exactly how much they could punch up against Marauders. And you said you had some trouble against the Mercs though, right?
Yeah.
With this team.
So even though they're fast, and so taking them against a non-pure Merc team, so that's a team featuring like a Shuri.
Okay.
The problem they had was there's no solution for blind, and so it can go very badly depending on who gets blind. Now, you can potentially get defense up and probably reduce the number of characters that get blind by stealing it off of a character. The problem is... they don't spawn with defense up, so you'd have to kind of pick that later. So that blind can be devastating, and then that really takes away their tools when it comes to being able to steal buffs and do all that. And so, even though Yelena goes quickly and often first in those matchups, the blind was just too devastating. So I don't recommend it. It probably something we'll do some more testing. I think there's some potential there in certain rooms, like if you're in. Like if you have a target in engineering and you can grab defense up, but you're still going to hope for RNG. I think the team's just missing something like a little extra resist or a way to cleanse or more importantly, a way to gain immunity. But again, from a very clear perspective, I think Marauders as Guardian, they're going to be a very strong offensive team.
Do you see any reason to use this as a defensive team? Because they have a lot of war bonuses, not specifically war offense or war defense. Do you think people should be using these on war defense? Do you think they have some viability there?
So they have viability, but they don't have smart AI. And we're going to talk about the idea is a lot of these abilities are fully loaded, both the special and the ult. So it's going to favor the ult, and that may not be the best option for when the AI should be playing it. Okay. So things like Red Star, which is a damage ability, where you're probably going to want Iron Curtain to go up and get his taunt after somebody goes into it. So they're probably more designed as an offensive team and probably better suited. But again, I'm sure people will put them on defense with high stars and high red stars. You got six on that sheet, man. What was this lock? Was this a nose
I'm building this team. I got six on my soldier too, way back in the day, which was horrible. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this team is starting to come together. But yeah, we'll see how they do.
And that's the thing. I do love the fact that they've actually made it so that when a character is being, like those minions that are getting terrible luck, and you're like, oh man, and then suddenly, a few months later, you're like, oh, that's not so bad. My seven red star. Merc Lieutenant. All right, let's go.
Yes. All right. Well, he looks like a good character. So looks like a good team. More testing is obviously needed, but he is coming to Marvel Strike Force, released via an event for free-to-play players that don't want to spend the $50 now to unlock the Red Guardian. How challenging do you think this event will be? How many shards should people be expecting, or free-to-play players be expecting, by the end of this event? Because we've had similar type of events before, yeah. Right?
So I think the last one we had was NTW. What was the last one we had was Ghost?
I think Anti-Venom was an event, but I don't know if that's the last one.
Anti-Venom. So the idea is you typically expect probably a 4-star.
As a free-to-play with no spending.
That's the idea. With you're probably going to have to spend a little bit of cores or energy to get it done. So we'll probably have some type of calculator if it matches that. They've been pretty consistent with their releases. It's just been kind of a quick edit here or there that we can kind of help calculate with that. So stay tuned. When it comes out, we'll give you the details.
Okay, yeah. So check out the Remnex channel or his stream, and you get all the details on what you need to calculate to maximize these. If it turns out to be something complicated, it might just be something totally simple that we figure out. But yeah, check out Remnex; it'll have all the calculations for you guys. Now, speaking of events that were kind of complicated, you did this calculated for these Mojo Milestones event where we got these prime time syndication rerun orbs. It is over now, but. What are your thoughts on this event? I thought this was not as painful as that Anti-Venom one.
I really liked this event.
I did too. I didn't think it was that bad.
So the thing about it was you were doing most of the stuff, and it was the holidays. And with if Blitz Sim wasn't here, I think we probably did not like this event.
That's what made it less painful than that Anti-Venom one. It was exactly that, the Blitz Sim. It just took way less time.
And I was surprised at how many, how lucky I got, and just was overall just in shock about some. I got a couple good pulls. I thought I wasn't going to get
You got some of these, right? You got some of these awesome gear pieces.
Yeah, I had a really good drop percentage. So I went well beyond the milestone for the first time in a long time, where I was just trying to get more of these orbs to get more G15 scarce materials.
Well, I kind of like this. Do you want to see more events like this in the future with these orbs now that Blitz Sim is here? Because these were kind of painful when we weren't able to sim Blitz, at least for me.
Yeah, so I think this was overall, and I'm curious to see what the community thinks, but overall, I felt like the milestones were achievable. It didn't seem that tedious, and the rewards were decent. I mean, from all the way from the milestones all the way to what they had in the orbs.
The orbs are okay. I like the milestones though. I guess if you got good pulls, I've opened a mega orb. I got real close to another mega orb from these orbs, so they're not totally useless.
I had a couple good pulls. I think I sent you one.
You sent me a really good one that you got. But speaking of these milestones, I think a lot of people before the holidays were expecting an orb opening event. And we're a little disappointed by the Valley Club on the stream this morning. So I have to ask you, what is your prediction for the next orb opening event? Are we getting one? Are they done with these? Should we be hoarding? I mean, has anything changed now that this Mojo Milestone event has come and gone and no orb opening event? Is there one coming or nothing? What is your expectations here?
I don't want people to hoard orbs. They should always try to grow as best they can. However, however, let's talk.
All right, let's do it.
So the idea is there's probably always some sort of guideline that they're looking for. So it's probably more lines up, and I want to thank Bacon, who basically keyed me into this. We had a good conversation about it. And the idea is it's probably more along the lines of when people start hitting level 80. So the people that are that group of hitting level 80, because then they're going to be opening their own orbs, trying to build up their characters, flooding their rosters to build them up. Okay, and then
that makes sense. And
yeah,
after that is when we're going to get some.
probably, you know, so if the majority of people are hitting it probably the end of January, early February, we'll probably see something like that in February, March. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Don't hoard orbs. You should hoard red stars for characters that you want to raid up on. If you're comfortable enough and your team is doing what you needed to do, all your whole entire roster, good luck. You shouldn't be hoarding orbs. But, you know, the idea behind that is I think from a vast standpoint, you could potentially be hurting yourself by not opening some of the orbs.
I opened some. I didn't open all. I opened my premiums.
Obviously not.
I forgot all about the basics. So I still have all my basics here. I should have opened my basics. That could have helped me. I think we opened some megas. But yeah, a lot of these gear ones, I'm not level 80 yet. So it really does me no good. And
that's the point is when you hit level 80, I think there's that incentive because you're going to try to bring up the characters. And so the thing about it is it's also going to be this... the idea of the competition warfare that we have in both Arena and in War. You're going to start seeing G15 characters level 80, and you're going to have to bring up characters level 80 to overcome the defenses and whatnot. We're already starting to see the investment that people are putting into characters and the change that it has in Gold 4 to Platinum to Diamond 1, right? So it's all about, you know, who's spending on their roster and building their characters up. That's where it is.
I agree with you. Don't hoard orbs unless opening them is not going to really do you any good. And then just hoard them and wait. If you need them, open them. But if you don't need them and it's not going to do you any immediate good, then hoard them. We'll see what happens. Maybe February, maybe March, maybe even later. I don't know. We'll see what happens, guys. Let me know your best guesses in the comments when you think the next orb opening event is going to come out.
I'm going to tell you one thing really quickly. This is it.
Okay.
There will always be the potential for another orb opening event. They won't tell us. It doesn't behoove them to tell us.
Yep. I know before the holidays were coming on, people were like, hey, just tell us one way or the other. Is there going to be an orb opening event? But yeah, there's no best interest for Scopely saying one way or the other if an orb opening event is coming or if they're not doing these or anything. So yeah, I don't think we're going to hear much of that. I think you're exactly right on that. Moving on to something that also just ended, this real-time arena season one, Mojo's Mayhem. And I was thinking that we would get this right away. It looks like as of us recording this, there's still another 2 days and 4 hours till we get season two. Before we start on with some predictions for season two, do you think that Real Time Arena season one was a success?
Yeah, boy, that's a loaded question.
I know, that's what I asked.
There's probably, so I think there were some successful elements, but I felt like this was a playtest.
It kind of was like a beta test, right? To see how the community would react to it. There's some positivity, but a lot of negativity. I think this is a good framework. They got elements they could build on. They got elements they could change. They got the framework there. Everything that the community was complaining about, the quitting, the pricing, everything else related to the characters choosing the objectives, all that stuff could be changed.
But yeah.
So personally, I like the framework. So I like season one. I think it gives potential, even if there were some problems.
We can walk through the early pain points, right? So matchmaking was terrible. It's still
still bad.
There still was some instances where like I would go in there and get a team of all 134 strength characters, right?
Yeah.
Bad. I mean, I got my milestones done probably with one character. The guy, so we both waited like, you know, a minute and a half to load in, lose our characters, and it wound up being, you know, just worthless for everybody. I got a win, but he got, you know, frustrated. And so I don't think that's a good experience. So coming from what's the player experience, right? That wasn't good. The other problem we have is quitting. And we call people out, and I think people just, and you know how I just hate when people go at it in the community, and I feel like it was just, you know, you got the player's name up there, and people are like, if you're this player, you're quitting, you're a loser, and I was just, it just got frustrating to see.
It's frustrating for the person winning, but for the person losing, it's like, this is just a waste of time. I'm just giving you this.
Yeah.
I want to do something better with my time, but then I'm screwing you up as well. So I hope that solution that they talked about, where you get the AI taking over to somebody quiz. I hope that comes not in the next patch. I hope that comes in this next season.
We'll have to see. Like I said, and I think the milestones for having characters like legendary characters you don't have in your roster, was frustrating for a lot of people because there really wasn't, they gave you a goal. They didn't tell you that you didn't have to do all those objectives, but people saw the objectives and are like, oh man, I can't even do this objective. This battle pass is terrible. But you didn't have to have all those objectives done. And that was the idea of all of this, is really you were able to complete the battle pass in a couple different ways. And I think that's the big difference.
So what would you like to see in season two? With full knowledge that most of the staff of Scopely is still away for the holidays, it's going to be very limited to what we can see. I mean, it's happening in a couple days. What would you like to see happen in season two?
So for me, I really would like to see, obviously, the AI implementation, a little bit better matchmaking, taking into account the teams that are built in there. Okay. I would really like to see Zemo banned, but that's like, he is, unfortunately, I think he's here to stay, and he is the probably a staple of the mode, because, you know, just you, that was really the defining moment, is, you know, if you were a lower level player, taking him in and just getting your team wiped by his passive. I think one of the things is I think they took away some of the PvP elements for people who really wanted to see this mode take off. The draft was part of the fun of PvP, and I think just this, you know, taking a team in there, what we saw was people, you know, some people doing their objectives, which was cool. But after a while, what we saw were these competing metas with like Emma Zemo just taking over, and or four piece of Black Order taking over with a carry. So I think there was some potential for fun, and I had fun because I could take my giant roster in there and just beat 95% of the people. But I think if the ultimate objective was to create a game mode that was fun, it wasn't always fun. And
all right, so I'm hoping they make some good changes as well in this game mode. Not obvious ones, the matchmaking, the quitting, some of these objectives, maybe the pricing. But I think the big one that I want to see that can be implemented pretty simply is, instead of banning three characters per week, move it up to five, you know, so we can include characters like Zemo, some of these annoying characters. People are going to have to switch up their teams every single week. I would like to see it up to five, maybe even more that are banned per week, because our rosters are pretty large. So
or just make it fun, like have the be able to have the community in game select it, and then that's the character that gets banned. Like, just have like a little
vote, like their Facebook polls. Scopely, free marketing advice.
Just something in game where they click on it and they're like, all right, this week we're not going to have this one, and then so if they get banned one week, they can't be banned from the following week.
I like it. I do think more bans would help with some of the meta defining. One more question before we move on from Real Time Arena. Who do you think the next character is going to be? And you know, knowing full well that we got 2 days, this usually lasts for a week, this video. So half of the audience is be watching this knowing who the character is. Who do you think it's going to be?
So I think it's probably, I think it might be She-Hulk, but I think a lot of people are thinking Beast because of the popularity of the character. So I guess my thoughts were, it should be something that people would buy the battle pass for, and I don't think She-Hulk might be it. So people are saying they would buy it for Beast, and I'm not sure that's it either. So we'll have to see. I mean, those are the two more popular opinions.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Beast as well myself, just because the Astonishing X-Men looks to be a thing that's coming up. But yeah. I guess Scopely plays a lot of things very close to the vest, so I guess we will have to see what's coming up.
My only thing is, if it's Beast and that's his farmability, like that's just how he's farmable.
Oh, I don't want that to be his farming method, but
yeah,
I would like to see him as a reward for Real Time Arena. But yeah, that Real Time Arena is not farmable, guys.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Have you asked Copley?
Ooh, they're not back from vacation. I guess I do need to ask the question officially.
We want to say that, but we don't know if that's what, like.
I mean,
orbs aren't farmable, are there?
Orbs, yeah, all right. Now, hopefully we can get some clear definition in 2021.
They are fountainable.
Oh. So. You know what else is fountainable?
Let's go.
The arena store, because we're getting swarm as of us recording this, probably being added today because this is the first Wednesday of not just the month, of the year. And swarm is added to the arena store, as indicated by this blog post here. How important is swarm nowadays to this Sinister Six? Can you make a good Sinister Six team without swarm? Can you skip this character, or is he super necessary for this team?
I think as we're seeing the chargeables with Doc Ock, if you have Doc Ock, he is probably a staple of that team, especially if you want to do things like take on their full meta counters, which they can take on at similar power levels. Remember, the investment level's got to be similar. Black Order. So, you know, Swarm is a key piece of that.
Now that we know Swarm is coming, and they said previously, or in last year's blog post, that they would have two new farmable characters per month, who are you expecting is the next character to become fountainable in January?
Beast in the Battle Pass.
In the Battle Pass. Oh, my goodness.
No, I think we'll have to see. We'll have to see if a node pops up here. I think we had the calendar. Oh, geez. I thought we... who was it? I can't forget. I had the calendar. Hold on.
Probably Electro. It's probably Electro.
Electro. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. We also got a few events returning. One of them last week was Chaos Theory. I like always asking, what are you doing with silver and gold promotion credits with this past event? Or are you still hoarding them?
So I just spent gold promotion credits on Scream because I use her in every game mode. And then silver promotion credits, I have like 500, I think almost 500. And so I'm probably going to use them. I only have a 4 red Yelena, you know, and so I'll probably use it on her.
Okay. I didn't spend it on anybody this time. I'm just saving them right now. I spent some on Minerva right before the event happened because... Yeah, she wasn't surviving in life.
And that's the big difference is, you know, these .3, this Raid Slider came out.
Yeah, so you got to build up Minerva, Captain Marvel, some of these other Kree that you might not have wanted to build up previously. So yeah, I use it on Minerva. Relic Hunter looks like it's coming back this week. Does this even give you enough resources to make a difference that we need to talk about this? Or is there another revamp that's needed for this Relic Hunter event?
You know, they just gave us a little bit more from the Relic Hunt, but that's the big difference is they really had to. I don't know. I think with G15, we're spending SBCs at a very, very high rate. So we'll have to see.
We will. Doc Ock also coming back very, very soon. I've had a mix of predictions for the date. Some are saying early January. Some people are saying late January. Regardless of when he is coming back, though, you talked about Swarm being an important element of this Sinister Six. Doc Ock, how relevant is he to this team and outside of this Sinister Six team? Is there a lot of places to use Doc Ock right now?
Oh yeah, I use him on my arena team. I hit auto. There's a couple of things about Doc that are unique. First, the ability to prevent offense down. More importantly, that buff flip and extend that he has on it. He is. If the symbiotes didn't come out right after him, I think we'd still be talking about how good he is. So I did promote him to 7 red star.
All right. So I got a 5-star Doc Ock. I can't wait this event come back because he's gonna get up to 7 this time, guys.
And have you fought him on War Defense, had a little bit of trouble with him? Or if you guys solved it pretty much?
I try to avoid him. But normally I go in and I'm punching down against the Sinister Six because I'm not super experienced and I don't want war. You cannot experiment in war. You got to win every single matchup. And I'm just not confident in my Sinister Six countering. What about you? What are you doing? Are you afraid of Doc Ock when you see him on War Defense?
Oh no! I mean, he's counterable, but you know, I think it's just when you start seeing the 6 and 7 red star, you go, uh oh, yeah, because he's not. Then he becomes. It's do I have the power to beat him?
Yeah. Well. Very, very good character. And yeah, congratulations to everybody unlocking him whenever he comes back sometime this month, I'm assuming. And if you're getting another star on him, congratulations to you as well. All right, so moving on to the next legendary that is coming. We know it is Jubilee. There's been speculation for a long time for the community. Who is the next legendary unlock? I think a lot of people were saying it's going to be Pymtek, but now we have some other teams and it looks like the next legendary is not coming till maybe February or beyond that. I'm hearing X Factor. I'm hearing military skill. I'm hearing some other weird combos. What are you leaning towards right now? Now that we've have more information, more time has passed, who do you think is going to unlock the legendary Jubilee?
So, wow, that was disturbing.
Sorry.
No, okay. So what I will say is, I think a lot of people bought Pymtek with the idea that that was going to be the unlock requirement for Jubilee. And I think because my concern is, hey, when we think we figured out Scopely, they throw a wrench right at us. So
it's the old Roddy Piper. Just when you think you figured out the answers, I change the questions.
There you go. And I think that's probably Roddy Piper. Thank you for your insight as always.
Giving Scopely business advice, bro.
Yep. There it is.
All right. So I know you've been mentioning a few teams, maybe a She-Hulk in there. What is your prevailing thoughts right now? If you want to say it, I don't know if you want to say it, but what are you leaning towards right now?
I think you look at the most, I think if you look at your roster and you're like the characters that you were least excited about that came out recently, kind of like how we saw with Sinister Six, there's a potential that becomes the legendary requirement. So I don't want to say it. I don't want to do it.
I don't want to give Scopely advice.
I don't want to speak it into existence.
All right.
But I will say, I will say that the legendary events are something that makes a lot of money for them.
All right.
And it does it because of the fear of missing out, the idea that, you know, that you're panic farming, and it does make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think panic farm is a big source of revenue for them, especially with these legendaries. So yeah, they're going to keep it close to the vest. But let me know your thoughts in the comments. We don't want to speak it into audible existence, but in text form, it's fine. Now, speaking of text form, we've had some text in-game in some of these transition scenes talking about the boyfriend of Shatterstar, Richter, a key member of the X-Factor. Do you think that this means that Richter is another member of X-Factor coming in Marvel Strike Force? Or this was just some background on Shatterstar? Are we reading too much into this?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see.
What are you leaning towards, though?
I think this team will probably come together around the summertime, and I think we might see some more of the X Factor, and we'll have to see.
I hope it's sooner than later. I mean, we had to wait 2 years to finish X Force, so the Dad Bros are so good, and they need a solid team. So I hope it's sooner rather than later for these X Factor, and for me, I look at their kits, not necessarily the characters.
Yeah,
X Factor. So there's certain characters I want, but certain teams that I want as well. This is what I want the team to be good.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, and not a lot of data mines, not a lot of rumors. We are just getting back from the holidays, but Reminex, my brother, it is always fun. It is always a pleasure. And before you go, unless you have anything else to say, let everybody know where they can find you.
Reminex on Twitch, Reminex on YouTube, and coming soon to more platforms.
Stay tuned. Nice. Well, all the links that you send me will be down below, all those spreadsheets. If Emma has her event coming out today like we are expecting, and it's complicated, I know there will be a calculator done, and it may not be there as this video is released, but you know, if there's one done, that'll be added to this video. So look in the descriptions. Lots of Reminex links, guys. Make sure you check out his channel. Make sure you check out his Twitch and some of the new things coming up. You gotta stay tuned to his Discord for all that information. Thank you guys for watching. Hopefully you guys guys enjoyed this edition of your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. We do this every single week, guys, so make sure you subscribe, check me out on social media, and check out some of my other videos before you go. Remedix, before you go, give me that Hulk fist bump. Where is it?
We're dead. Oh, we're dads and we're bros. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, my dad, bro. Hulk fist bump, Valley Flat, Remedix. Out. Oh, yeah, baby.